the melody when the moon is full on the day of our festival. This is a decree of Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. In other words, listen to his word. When God went out against Egypt, he established it as a statute for Joseph. I heard an unknown voice say, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called, and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you if you would only listen to me. Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before them, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. May God bless his word.
Amen, my brother. Thank you so much. It's really a pretty awesome psalm. Kind of starts with some adoration and some praise. It's not really a very familiar psalm to a lot of people. It's not one of those favorites that people jump to and read to very often. It's a praising God for who he is. He is the one who gives strength. He is the one who gives power. He is the one who imparts knowledge and wisdom. He is the one who forgives sin. He is the one who redeems. He is the one who purifies. He is the one who supplies and meets our every need. Shouldn't we praise him simply for who he is? I mean, we celebrate the athletes. Woohoo! We'll even raise banners and raise money for all our favorite politicians, all our actors. We want to hear what they have to say about the latest fad. We cheer for the Florida Panthers and the Miami Heat and the Dolphins and whatever your favorite team is. And we don't even know them. We don't even know them. We know what they represent. Shouldn't we praise God for who he is, what he represents, and we get to know him? Oh, man, all the more so. And how then should we praise him? Is there a right way? Or is there a wrong way? New songs, weird sounds. Could you worship to a kazoo? Bagpipes, oh man, that's no way to worship God. Until you hear Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. For certain, drums are unholy. Is there a wrong way? Shouts of joy come from sanctuaries all across the world. It looks different and sounds different. You know, every Sunday, right up here, the praise team, you know, we'll pray before the service starts. Do you ever see us? If you ever show up early enough, you might see it. We're all up here. We pray, and then you know what we do? We reach in, right? You familiar with this? So help me out here, praise team, right? And so we reach in, and then we all go, praise God. So today I'm going to invite you to all be part of the praise team. Ready? Reach it on in. Reach it on. Come on, give me a hand. 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 And if you're not going to do it, I'll just keep doing it until everybody's in it. All right, just reach it on in. Reach it on in. Reach it on in. Reach it on in. Come on, ready, ready. And praise God. Woo! I like it. Praise him with music. Amen. Praise him with the timbrel and the tambourines and the strings instruments. Blow the shofar and the ram's horn. Clap your hands. Lift your voice. And this is to be done according to the psalmist. They would do it at a festival of the full moon. In remembrance of what God has done. We celebrate, we sing, we worship, we remember. The psalm was written to be used during times of festivities and the Israel's holy days. There's a slide for you. Here's your next slide. Remember what the Lord has done. He delivered you. Remember, so the song, remember what the Lord has done. Here's your next one. Remember what we had done. Disobedience. That's what we did. And in your distress, you called, and I rescued you, and I answered you out of a thundercloud. There's your first one's request. We cried out in our distress. Israel was held captive in Egypt for over 400 years. That's a lot of crying out in distress. That's a lot of crying out from a nation. We must never grow weary in our crying out to God. In our distress, we cry out. In our anguish, we cry out. In our sickness, we cry out. In our pain, we cry out. In our frustration, in our anger, in the injustice of it all, we cry out to God. We cry out all day and every day. We need God's help. And some of us have been requesting that God would move into our very own lives. For years, we've been praying for God to do something in our lives. Some of us have been praying that God would move into the lives of others. For years, we pray for our spouses, we pray for our kids and our grandkids. For decades, sometimes it seems like, I've been praying for this wayward child. Do not grow weary and do not give up. Keep your requests ever before the Lord. Keep praying. We know that our God answers in His time. We know that God delivers in His time. It may take a generation. He lifted the bondage from the Israelites at the right time. God hears the cries of His people. Many of His people are still crying out in bondage all around the world. Some of our requests before the Lord can seem relatively petty compared to being freed from human trafficking or freed from slavery. Freed from addictions and abuse, overcoming persecution, escaping persecution. Many of us were held enslaved and captive by other types of masters and oppressors. Many of us are held captive by money. It can be a tool for the good, it can be a tool toward evil. Too much debt and you're a slave to the lender. Your God can quickly become a house, a car, a boat, a girl, a drug. Sex can be wonderful, joyful, fun-filled experience, or it can be a destroyer leading to disease and the demise of your soul. Destruction with too much promiscuity and too much perversion. It's quickly how humans can take that which God has meant for the good and pervert it. Yet these burdens and all of this kind of talk, these are just burdens that are temporary. It's temporary. Money's temporary. Your flesh, temporary. They last as long as you're alive. They are tied to the earth. They're tied to the physical body. They're temporary by their very nature. God saw an oppression over His creation. Sin. God saw an oppression over His creation. Sin. Death was taking His people. Sin was corrupting their minds. Disobedience was affecting their eternity. Evil was taking hold. Disobedience over and over and over and over again. It is said this way, disobey God. Disobey God, and you don't get to where you want to go, and you pay the fare. Don't get deceived into believing that your disobedience will somehow get you to where you want to go, or that somehow it will bring you eternal delights. God saw fit to come down here himself to bring us out of this captivity, to free us from the wages of our own sins. God himself did this. And it's us crying out to God. We requested rescue. Come help us out of the bondage. Come help us out of the slavery. Come help us out of all the captivity. Come help us out of these chains that we find ourselves in. And this is of God, the way that he chooses to do it. The way that he chooses to set the captives free in his time. The way that he chooses to break the bonds of addiction in his time. God gives us freedom. He fills us with the Holy Spirit of God. It's God's idea. Church is God's idea. Communion is God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. Have you ever cried out to God before? I mean, just you asked for forgiveness? Do you think you were denied? Have you ever needed his direction? Ever needed his guidance, ever needed his wisdom, ever cried out with a heart that is so hurt and so lost, full of pain? Do you think he denied you? Maybe you didn't get the answer that you wanted. Maybe you didn't get the answer that you expected. Maybe you didn't even get the answer yet. Or maybe, just maybe, you completely missed it out of your disobedience and your arrogance. Please help me, Lord. Help me out of this jam and I'll never drink again. And this time I mean it. Lord, help me out of this financial crisis. Please, Lord, please, I'm begging you. Please help me and I'll give and I'll tithe. And this time I mean it. Lord, help me through this grief. I don't know how I can bear it. I don't know I can do this. I hate it. I don't want to do it. Man, you sound just like Jesus. You sound just like Jesus. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you. I tested you. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me. It comes to your rescue. Here's your next one, rescue. That's a great picture of a fire rescue person, isn't it? You know why there's policemen, right? Do you know why there's policemen? Because firemen need heroes. Yeah, feel free to use that, Glenn, sometime with your brother. Yeah. As God comes to our rescue, oftentimes in ways that we do not even see. He pulled the Israelites from the pit, set them on a new course, and they were still ungrateful. He saved them out of the pit, set them on a new course, and they were still unbelieving. Jesus touches the lives and heals 10 lepers. One comes back. People are fickle. Humans are flighty and indecisive. They're rude. They're impatient, and somehow they seem okay with it. They seem perfectly okay with their immorality. They seem perfectly okay in their disobedience. They seem perfectly okay that they have a difficult personality and they will not change to make it any easier on themselves or anyone else. God rescues you over and over and over and over again. He delivers you over and over and over again. He heals you over and over and over again. And you're casual about your gratitude. You're casual about your giving. You're casual about your church attendance. And then we just keep asking for more. We want more, God. We want more, God. We need more, God. And we don't keep asking, actually. We demand. Here's your next slide. See, my daddy taught me to say please and thank you. So did my heavenly father. God is on a rescue mission. He desires to answer you, to guide you, to sustain you, to uphold you, to help you, to provide for you. Yet there's this recurring issue that keeps happening in the heart of man. We will not listen. We will not obey. We do not keep our promises to him. We do not even heed his warnings. Oh, I have a story about my dog. My dog is great at hearing me. My dog can hear me, but he doesn't obey me. He would get himself filthy, dirty, digging where he shouldn't be digging. He would hurt himself physically, jumping from and to places he shouldn't be jumping. Now he hears my voice and he hears my commands. He will even acknowledge that he's heard me. Dig, 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 dig. Jackson, don't do that. Dig, 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 dig. Blatantly. Blatantly on purpose. Until he hurts himself. Or he's filthy, dirty, disgusting. God wants us to not get hurt. He doesn't want you to become filthy, dirty, disgusting. Can we even begin to gain an understanding in our own lives that God wants what's best for us? Even if we don't like the command. Stop digging where you're digging. Stop jumping where you're jumping. Can we come to the place we'll acknowledge and we'll say, okay? Or will we blatantly disobey? Blatantly go your own ways? Can we come to a place where even though we don't like the command, we will obey? We will follow because I trust him. God gives us instructions for our soul care. I know you're thinking about your feelings. God's talking about your soul. I know you're thinking about your career and your finances and your money. God is thinking about your soul. I know you're thinking about your sexual desires. God's thinking about your soul. I know you're thinking about your house and your car and your kids and your hair and your clothes and your shoes and all the things that are temporary, and God is talking about your soul. You keep digging where you're digging, you're going to get filthy dirty. You keep jumping where you're jumping, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get eternally hurt. Do you hear me, church? But my people would not listen. Israel would not submit to me. And then God does this amazing thing. It boggles my mind in many ways. And I wrestle with it, and I can't always come to grips with it, and maybe you won't be able to either, but God does this amazing thing. My people would not listen. They would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. I did that with my dog. Hey, stop digging. No. Dig, 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 dig. I just close the door and walk away. He's just going to dig. He's just going to jump. I just let him be free to be a dog and all that dogs do. Free to be a fleshly human and all that the fleshly humans do. Pleasure-seeking, self-centered, egocentric. He lets you go. Until my dog would actually hurt himself. And then your ears perk up. Or he'd be hungry. He's scratching at the door. I'm done digging now. I'm done playing with the stuff I want to play with. Can you feed me now? Not asking, demanding. How many times have parents rescued their kids? How many times will you? Over and over. This is just an amazing thing that happens. He really turns you loose. He really lets you go. He loves you enough to let you go. I'm still trying to, what? He loves me enough, he would die for me in my place. Should I not accept what he has done for me? Well, then you go be you. I find that absolutely amazing. Not that the prodigal son returns, but that he lets him go. The God who created you gives you this wonderful ability to choose and to choose not him. I think it's a wonderful human attribute. You can choose kindness or not. You can choose gentleness or not. You can choose generosity or not. You can choose to come to church or not. You can choose to pray with your family or not. You can choose to pray with your spouse or not. You can choose to stand up for your, or not. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Unless you choose not. And he'll just let you go. And see, that's the wrath of God. I know many of us think the wrath of God is all the fire and lightning and thunder and the wrath of God is upon you. You know what the wrath of God, this other time, he just withdraws. He just simply just lets you go. He just removes himself. And listen, we ask him to. Leave me alone, God. Leave me alone. We request help, and then we say, oh, thank you for getting me out of that situation. Now leave me alone. Till you find yourself in another situation, digging in another hole, jumping from another place you shouldn't be jumping from. God just removes himself because we've asked him to. We asked him to leave our schools. How's that working out? We marginalize him in our politics. How's that going? We don't encourage Bibles in schools, but we sure encourage Bibles in the prison. Interesting. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has a viewpoint. And then we ask God, remain silent, please. Stay out of the conversation, please. And even in the worst of cases, God still desires to come to your rescue. See, once you've had enough of doing things your own way, digging where you shouldn't be digging, jumping from where you shouldn't be jumping, once you're filthy enough and hurt enough and you come scratching back at the door, God is there. He's ready for the rescue. We're all familiar with this. If my people will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and pray, then I will come, right? I will come to their rescue. Make the request. Receive the answer. Once you come to the end of yourself, your pleasure-seeking disobedience, once you come to the end of yourself, you're hungry and you're dirty and you're diseased and you're tired and you're sore, God help me, please. And this time, oh man, this time I mean it. Here's your next slide. See, you can begin with God. What you call the end of yourself, God calls the beginning. Finally, he wore himself out. Finally, he stopped digging the holes. Finally, he wore himself out enough. I thank God every time he came to my rescue, every time he pulled me out of a pit. I thank God that he saved me from myself. Do you even understand what that means in your own life? I thank God he saved me from myself. I join him now in trying to rescue others, to encourage others to make eternal impacts. Are you at the end? Maybe it's just the beginning. Are you digging where you shouldn't be digging? Jumping where you shouldn't be jumping? God has great things in mind for you. More than you can ask, think, or even begin to imagine. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. If my people would only listen to me, if only they would follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you who seek me, you who sought me, you who requested me, you who desires me, you I would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Here's your reward. There's your next one, a reward. If we will obey, he will bless. Do you get that? Not complicated. If then. If you obey, then he blesses. That's an amazing truth. Just like it is you continue to disobey, he'll just let you go your own way. What an amazing truth. Now in this passage, I see a few things going on. I see kind of a few rewards that could be and should be ours. One is that I see him satisfying your hunger. There's your next slide. He's satisfying your hunger. Open wide your mouths, just like little baby chicks. Open wide your mouths and God will fill them. I think this is kind of a problem with a lot of believers. I know it was for me for a long time. We're very self-sufficient. We're very prideful people. We take pride in our own selves and our own attributes and the things that we can accomplish. We have to protect, we have to provide, and we have a responsibility to do it. We strive to be something. We strive to be somebody. We strive to have title, or we try to make a difference. When the truth is, we're vulnerable little children. We think we feed ourselves. He is our provision. We think we protect ourselves. He is our provider. We think we're somehow in control, but he's in control. We think we worked for all that we own. What do you own? In the blink of an eye, it's gone. He is our provider. We are his children. He tends to us. He cares for us. He watches over us, and he protects us, and he feeds us, and he guides us, and he teaches us. Do you even know what you're hungry for? Do you even know what your deepest seated thirsts of your heart are? I used to think I did. I used to think I was all tied to the things of this world. Success, fame, income, fortune, titles. I strove like a madman, trying to be somebody, trying to accomplish something. I came to realize that the things I hungered for were a complement to my existence. They were a complement to my existence. They were not wrong. They were an extension of who I already was, who I was created to be. Though I took all that hunger and I took all those passions and I guided it in the wrong direction. I chased all the things of the world. And there was no fulfillment in the things of the world. God didn't create me to find fulfillment in the things of the world. He created me to find fulfillment in him. And then all these other things would be added unto you. I chased all the right and wrong things, trying to fulfill a void and an emptiness that would somehow prove my worthiness. Fixated and on an image of what successful living looks like. What does a successful life even mean? And what does it look like? I know for me it was way too self-sufficient, and I was even way too critical of my own self, and I stopped. I stopped, and I pondered the hunger. I pondered the hunger that would not be satisfied, that could not be satisfied. The drive, the determination, the energy, all those passions. I tried to satisfy them from the world and not from the source. Are you getting it? Can you kind of understand? When I consulted the source, I found the direction. When I consulted the source, I found the direction. I was hungry. God created that. I put it in the wrong direction. I had passions and desires and motivations, and I placed them in the wrong direction, thinking that fulfillment would come from the world and from money and from prestige, and so wrong, and so temporary. What good is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? So then you just stop, ponder. I was hungry for creativity. I get to be creative. I get to be creative. I was hungry to write. I loved poetry and expressions and songs, and I'm writing every week. I'm writing every week. Creativity every week. I enjoy music. I get to listen to music and play music and be a part of it. I like learning about money and leadership and relationships. And it's the fulfillment of everything that God had called me to. When I was with the national office and I was traveling all the bunch of churches up and down the East Coast and preaching in hundreds of different churches, I would ask Melinda, so how do you think I'm doing? Am I doing okay? Is this good? You know, I have three messages and I preach them over and over and over and over and over and over again. How am I doing? She said, you're doing great. It's just not all of who you are. Do you even know who you are? The reason why you have the passions that you do, the hunger that you have, and are you trying to fulfill it from the world? Because God's got a better way. God had a way of satisfying the deepest longings of my soul, the deepest desires of my character. He did this because he created me. He did this. He fed me. He led me. He brings the fulfillment. I was lost on my own, trying but finding no fulfillment, finding no contentment, finding no satisfaction. Some of us just need to simply be open to being fed by God and the Holy Spirit of God. Instead of challenging him, instead of insulting him, instead of blaming him, that you're not satisfied, God and I demand that you might, okay, stop forcing your ambitions on God. He's given you the ambitions. You're forcing them in the wrong directions. Let him take the lead. Let him show you. He will satisfy the very hunger that you have. And how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before them, and their punishment would last forever. Another reward would be subdued enemies. There's your next one, subdued enemies. God subdues the enemies of your soul. God turns his mighty hand against the enemies just as I must trust him to provide. I must trust him to protect. God fights the battles. God goes before us. The Lord is the strength. The Lord is our song. The Lord is our deliverer. See, I can't even imagine in my own self that my life is worth anything. But God can. I can't even begin to imagine, how do I get rid of all this dirt and filth from all the places I've been digging? I don't know how to get clean. But God can. I don't know how to get over all the hurt and the pain that I caused myself and all other people around me by the places I've been jumping and jumping and jumping. I don't know how to do it, but God can. I don't know how to subdue my enemies, but God can. I don't even really know how to find the fulfillment of my deepest desires within my soul, but God can. Who is your greatest enemy? I'm wondering if sometimes maybe it isn't yourself. For decades, it was myself. It was me and my misguided ways. I thank God he didn't just let me keep on going. The revelation became sharp and clear, and I turned my life over to the source of life. What burden are you carrying? Financial struggles, emotional instability? You can't figure it out, but God can. Can't seem to find your way in the desert wasteland? God can. Don't know how you're going to survive and how you're going to make it and how you... God can. Feel alone, tired, weary, angry at God? He's with you. He's with you. He has not turned you over to your own ways yet. And then what kind of rewards are you really looking for? What kind of rewards are you really looking for? Temporary. Temporary. All the things that rust and rot and moths destroy. Temporary. I want God-sized rewards. God-sized testimonies. It's reward enough for me that God fights my battles and he will ensure my victories. Even death has no hold on me. But if you would be fed with the finest wheat, with honey from the rock, I will satisfy you. He plans on rewarding you. Grab hold. Grab hold. This one might seem a little, I'm not sure about this one, Pastor, but I think maybe it might be applicable. Go ahead, here's your next slide. Sweetness from adversity. I can barely get dust from a rock. Forget about trying to maybe get a spark out of a flint. God gets honey. God gets honey. I see this as all that toil and all that trauma and all the drama and all the trials and all the pain that you've been through. I see that as between the rock and the hard place. Ever been there? Sometimes you feel like you're right there right now. Too many times between a rock and a hard place. But I can see God taking that which was meant for my harm and turning it to the good. That sounds pretty scriptural. He gets sweetness out of the adversity. He can bring honey out of the rock. God brings forth living waters from the rock. Here's your next slide. God turns the rock of my hardship into the rock of my salvation. Can I get an amen on that? Better yet, can I get a praise God? Ready? Come on. Reach it out. Reach it out. Reach it out. Reach it out. God turns the rock of my hardship into the rock of my salvation. Come on. Come on. Reach it out. Praise God.